good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number, and it's Friday. That means Friday's with Sandy Williams. Hey, Sandy, how you doing?
Well, I'm doing all right. It's good. It's been a nice hot week. Summer, real summer.
Yeah, it really has. And so about five straight days of close to 90.
Well, yeah, we can't complain. The other parts of the country in Europe are
sweltering.
I mean, like, beyond sweltering. It's like in the oven.
You know, Sandy, you look at the map and globally, and for what do you say to people who still don't believe that global, what's the word I'm looking for, man? Where it's warming up, the climate change and global whatever is what is the word, Connor?
Well, talk about global warming.
Global warming. Yeah, see that. That's where we need to go to the young guy early in the morning. Global warming is real.
Oh man, I got a WhatsApp chat message that was sent out to the group that was on a tour in Israel from a woman who lives in the coast of France, right off of essentially across the English Channel. It's not a hot part of the world at all. Yeah, the temperature there was 105 degrees. People there don't have air conditioning.
Wow.
People, you know, they've had, in England and in France, when they have these heat waves, literally lots of people die. I mean, it's like predictable that hundreds of people die from
the
heat.
So they don't have air conditioning because normally
it's not
they
hot.
Don't, yeah, right, they don't get 105 degrees.
They don't get 90 degrees.
Yeah.
They don't even get 80.
Yeah. So what do you say, Sandy, to people who still don't believe this is real? I mean, what is it going to take, man?
Well, those people will point out in winter when it's 10 degrees below zero Fahrenheit, they'll say, well, see, there's no global warming. I mean, these people are skeptics looking for evidence to be skeptical rather than scientists just looking at the evidence.
You know, Sandy, the argument constantly is that, you know, solar and all those kinds of things can never replace fossil fuels. They're not equipped to deal with, but you need a combination of both. I mean, is that your take?
No, that is my take on what people say.
Right.
But as battery technology develops better and better, it's more and more possible to use batteries as the replacement for the coal-fired or oil-fired power plant that you need to be able to turn off and on, because you can turn a battery off and on. And so, you know, what happens with solar arrays or wind power is that you get power more than you need it sometimes, and when you can't store electricity, that electricity just goes into the grid and reduces the price of electricity, but it isn't available when you need it. Well, if you can store that electricity in a battery, it's like creating a coal pile behind the power plant. You've got a pile of electricity you can access. So there's no question that battery technology is going to supplant the need for coal-fired or gas-fired to some extent, and maybe to a complete extent. But then there are other sources of power that are developing as well, hydrogen.
Nuclear power. So
nuclear maybe, and yes, it exists, but also hydrogen-based and a variety of other power sources that could be total replacement. So, you know, people are only saying that you'll never get rid of it because they can't visualize the future. But the future will figure out how to get rid of coal and gas-fired electric generation.
Well, again, all over the world you see the things that are occurring and taking place, and it's not hard to envision down the road that we can't keep going down this path, right? I mean, anybody who has any real vision and the real vision is not what the eyes, it's what you have in your mind, they would understand, right?
I mean, the two biggest sources for greenhouse gas, other than any sort of natural source like cows' flatulence,
right,
are automobile emissions and electric power plant emissions. Those two taken together are the massive portion of human-derived carbon dioxide emissions. And, you know, the way cars are going to be supplanted in terms of being a source of greenhouse gas is by electrifying. And when they electrify, we're going to need electricity,
right,
to electrify them. So the focus ultimately is going to be on the electric generating side of things, that side of the deal. And, you know, that will focus then on the ability to avoid gas and fossil fuel fired electric generation. And I'm quite confident that is going to be solved. There's a couple of reasons. One of the reasons in the United States, at least, is that electric utilities, the ones that are regulated, get rewarded for making capital investments. They don't get rewarded for selling high volumes of electricity. They get rewarded in terms of the profits. They get awarded for the amount of capital they invest. So they're always looking for new investment opportunities, and the ones that are capital intensive. And the renewable energy sources are the most capital intensive. They end up being the cheapest for per unit of energy delivered, but that's because the variable costs for a solar array are about zero.
So,
there's no variable cost, it's all capital cost.
So it's safe to say the ship's already sailed, we're not going back. You see people continue to try to push back, like Joe Manchin and other senators who have those kinds of...
Well, there's going to be, you know, if you look at the graph of it, there'll be some ups and downs because of the increase in demand or the shortage of supply. When gas gets in short supply, you might use coal plants a little more, but that's going to be a very short-run blip, right? And so Joe Manchin, he's a prime example of someone who's not only stuck in the status quo politically, but sort of stuck in the past politically because, you know, the coal workers of America, bless their hearts, you know, they've been a significant part of America, are a vestige.
They're
vestigial, going to be vestigial. And what we really need to do is Joe Manchin needs to jump on board with the notion of retraining these people as rapidly as possible so they can step into prosperous jobs, not underground in coal mines.
And save jobs, right?
Yeah,
right.
Get rid of black lung altogether. All of us who are going and getting health care end up getting asked questions about whether we've, you know, got black lung disease or worked in a coal mine.
You know, Sandy, it's still amazing to me that people are still doing that. We don't know. The American people aren't aware that there are people still going in coal mines and mining coal. I mean, even though I don't know if the technology is such that...
Well, John L. Lewis, when I was a kid, I can remember pictures of and photos and videos of John L. Lewis.
All the soot over him.
Well, he was the head of the mine workers union. He had eyebrows that were bigger than Brezhnev's. and he was a very significant looking guy. You definitely recognized him. And he did a good job of getting coal miners high wages. So, you know, amongst the union workers in America, there were the automobile workers, but the mine workers, you know, were well paid. They were possibly, no one could get well enough paid to do the work they did.
Their lives were very short.
Yeah, the kind of danger they put themselves in, but they were well paid. And people in West Virginia, you know, children of, you know, there are great-grandchildren of mine workers still working in mines in Virginia because it was a pathway a little bit, you know, you talk about A.O. Smith,
right,
like your father and you working in places like A.O. Smith. Well, in West Virginia, the A.O. Smith is the coal mine.
Wow. You know, only from all the footage, video footage that I've seen with those poor souls and what they went through and the impact that it had on their lives and the shortness of their lifespans. And again, to think that that is still taking place. I don't care how they've improved the ventilation and those other things in the mines, it's just not a place that people should be going today, right?
Yeah, yeah. I just dumped all your pens on the floor here. I'm sorry about that.
Well, stick pens?
No, these are.
I'm only joking.
I'm looking at them. These are Sharpies, man.
Yeah, I think we'll be able to handle that.
Yeah.
Down the road. But Sandy, I just there's this conversation about the electric cars. People can't afford them. They're not going to be. That's not conceivable that people are going to be going to electric cars.
Well, look at them right now. Though there's already the CEO of General Motors and others can't announce more frequently enough the development of a new electric model and the new development of a lower priced electric model. No, there's just no question that number one, electric cars are going to supplant gasoline cars. Number one, an electric motor is far less complicated than a gasoline engine. And other than the battery in an electric car, the components of an electric car are far cheaper than the components of a gasoline car. So as batteries become cheaper and as people realize the differential in cost between the energy source electricity and the energy source gasoline, it's going to be a financial decision, and people are going to choose the cheaper financial pathway, which is going to be electric cars.
So what do you say to those who say, well, once the batteries are used up, what are we going to do with those? It's going to create a problem with, what do we do with the batteries once they're done?
Well, I don't know enough about the technology, but I know enough about the marketplace to understand that
they'll figure it out.
That the marketplace will figure out exactly what to do with it, and I'm confident that they'll figure out a recycling approach to the batteries that rejuvenates batteries. I suspect at some point what you'll do with your car is you'll drive it into a battery center, and they'll take the battery out of the car. Put a new one in.
Figure out a way to recharge.
And the only problem this is going to be for automobile manufacturers is that there's not as much innovation that's going to be able to occur with electric cars, because the engines are going to be more or less the same, and whether you have one on each wheel or two or one. So I think cars are going to last longer. They're going to last as long as you can keep putting batteries in them.
Wow. The future, according to Sandy Williams. Welcome back. Got to go to the break. It's Friday. Fridays with Sandy Williams. You're tuning into the Earl Ingram Show, 844-967-2789. We'll be back. So let me get this.